Morning, welcome. I have a couple letters here to read. First one is from the Eastside Apostolic Lutheran Church to the congregations of the Apostolic Lutheran Church of America. God's peace. The Eastside Apostolic Lutheran Church of Greer, South Carolina, is hosting spring services May 10th to 12th. We would like to welcome you to join us. Colin Kinnunen has been called to serve us for the weekend services. They list a schedule, which I won't go through. We pray God will guide us in hosting these services and blessing us all. And with love and God's peace, Jeff Tumberg, Secretary, Eastside Apostolic Lutheran Church. I'll post these at the back if you're interested in the schedules. And the second one is from the Greer Apostolic Lutheran Church. God's peace to all. The Greer Apostolic Lutheran Church will hold its annual 2024 Palm Sunday Easter services, and as per the following schedule, and it starts on Palm Sunday, which is March 24th, and then concludes on Easter Sunday, March 31st. And they have they called couple speakers from Sweden, and I'm not even going to try pronouncing the names, so they, if my wife was here, I'd ask her, but she wasn't, so I couldn't. I'll post them at the back for the schedule if you want to look at it. So those are the two letters. Are there any other announcements? Okay, we will have Chase read the psalm, and Jordan will do the prayer, and Tom will give us the message, and we'll begin.
Thank you. Psalm this morning is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. The night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech for language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle of the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Oh. Let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and all the blessings that you've given us. We especially want to remember to give you thanks and praise, as all thanks and praise and honor and glory belongs to you, our most holy God. We pray that you would be with each one of us. Each of us has our different trials and struggles and challenges and weaknesses. And you know better than ourselves what we need. And we know that as a loving Father, you also are willing to give us what's best. So we thank you in advance for what you will give us, and thank you for what we already have, which is tremendous blessings in every way. And we pray that you'd be with this congregation and with all, especially all the believers, those who are trusting in Jesus, wherever they're at in the world. We pray that you would give them what they need for each day. We know that none of us can store up our faith or the ability to do anything, but your mercies have to be new every day. We need your strength for each moment. And we pray that you would continue to give us that every day. We pray for those who have not known Jesus yet. There's many in the world, even around us in Alberta here, in our own town, Sylvan Lake, and right close to us, there are many who are not trusting in Jesus for various reasons. Some have never heard, some have rejected Jesus at some point in their life. But we know that Jesus is still calling to any who would hear, that if there's any who would hear his voice, that he would be willing to forgive and willing to give us that eternal hope and encouragement even in this life. And we pray for them. We pray for many in the world who are persecuted. We know that most of the world has physically a lot harder walk than we do, especially as Christians. Much of the world, people are afraid of their lives, even if they tell somebody about Jesus. And we're thankful that we have the freedom here to tell people about Jesus. And we pray for those throughout the world that we would have boldness to tell others about Jesus. And pray for the speaker this morning. Pray that you would open his understanding, open his mouth, that what is necessary would be spoken. And we pray for all the listeners, that each of us, that our hearts would also be opened, that we would hear what we need to hear and be strengthened to go forward. Now let us pray that perfect prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ and that indwelling Spirit be granted unto you this day, this holy day of grace. Before we look in Timothy, some of you who were hoping that Misha would be speaking today, he contacted Terry yesterday morning, and because of the weather, because of the roads, he wasn't comfortable in driving up today, so he asked if we would switch. So I'm preaching today, and he's preaching next Sunday, so just so you're aware. So if you were hoping to hear Misha, unfortunately, you get to hear me this morning, but we'll look into the Word by God's grace and glean from it what is necessary for this hour and this day, with the hope that the Spirit would be preached through that Word. So if we can turn our Bibles to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verses 1 to 14, that's 2 Timothy. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose, his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So when we look at this text, we have Timothy, who is in words that are more known as kind of a protege of Paul, a son of Paul, somebody that Paul enjoyed as far as the conversations they had, as far as the teaching that Paul taught Timothy. God had given Paul Timothy to help build the church all throughout Asia Minor, and at the same time he gave him a love for Timothy that was unwavering. So he had called Timothy like a son to him. And we hear more of Timothy than Titus, but Titus was the same. Was a son of Paul's, somebody that really helped. The two of them helped plant churches all over. And in planting the churches, they elected deacons and elders and built churches in all different areas. And they really, really helped Paul. Paul took on the afflictions. He took on the shipwrecks and all those other things. But when he started churches, he used people that God had sent to him to build the church, to build the bride of Christ. So the bridegroom would receive a beautiful bride. So when we look at this, Paul starts off in the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So he was an apostle by the will of God. We've got to remember that he was a big A apostle, meaning he saw Christ on the road to Damascus. There's not any new apostles today, although the word apostle means sent out one. So there are sent out missionaries that somebody could say they're kind of like apostles. But this is not what this apostle was or is. Paul was chosen of God to preach to the Gentiles, to plant churches for the Gentiles, and to bring elect, chosen vessels of God into the bride of Christ. And Timothy was one of those people that God had allowed to be chosen and put in Paul's path to be taught the word of God. So, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The life I live is basically not mine, but I live by the life of the Son of God and the faith of the Son of God, is what it's saying. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He's giving him a greeting, the greeting that is so common, the greeting of grace, that God favors you, a greeting of mercy, that your sins will be and have been taken away, and that you have a pure conscience that's sprinkled because you understand that the blood of Christ has shed and removed your sins. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul is saying that God through that Holy Spirit is bringing your name to me night and day so that I can pray for you, so that I can remember the conversations we have, and at the same time, I would really like to be with you face to face. But mindful of the tears and that I might be filled with joy, greatly desiring to see thee, it says here, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. Paul has a brother in Christ. A dearly meaningful brother in Christ that not only does he look to teach, but he looks to learn. He doesn't look down upon Timothy. He doesn't look up upon Timothy. He looks to Timothy, and to Timothy in a way that God is authoring and finishing his faith. And in conversations, they are equals. And those conversations are brought to mind. Prayers are brought to mind. And that relationship is brought to mind. He also remembers where Timothy got his faith or received faith or upbringing from. He remembers his grandmother, Lois, who had faith. And he remembers his mother, Eunice, who had faith. And he knows the influence of his grandmother And he knows the influence of Eunice, his mother, had a great effect on the faith that Timothy has. A great effect on what was built in that family. It seems like Timothy didn't have a father that had faith, but it doesn't really say that. But it does point to where his faith came from. I am persuaded that in thee also, you have that faith. So how is he? Why is he doing this? He's writing the letter to say to Timothy, you are my brother in Christ. I remember you always in prayer. I remember your parents and how they taught you and where faith began in you. And I remember how much I've learned from you, and at the same time I've taught you. And then from 6 to 14, basically, he wants to put something in Timothy's memory. Remember these things. And that's where he starts the sixth verse. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. Steve spoke on this last week. If you look at 2 Peter 1:5 to 8, he kind of touched on this. And I'm just going to read it. And beside this, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, which is power and virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make it that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. So he's encouraging Timothy the same way Peter was encouraging Timothy. So that the 10th verse of Peter happens. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So in here, it's kind of the same teaching. Put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, or when Peter says virtue, and of love, which is charity, and of a sound mind, which is wisdom of God. Paul really wants Timothy to know, number one, you have the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is acting on you to produce fruit. Stir it up. Find out what it's saying. Look into the Word. Read your Bible. Study it. Acknowledge that the Word is the Word. It's alive and living. And it says here, and he says this with the mind of that there's going to be affliction. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be persecution. And Timothy would have seen that because Paul went through it all. His brother Paul went through it all. Shipwrecked, stoned, you name it, he went through it. So it says here, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner or slave. He's a slave to righteousness. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. If you read what you've signed up for, or what God has signed you up for, in chapter 5 of Matthew, this is what you're signed up for. It's verse 3. It's the Sermon on the Mount. From 3 to 12. This is going to happen in the Christian. At some point in time that you're going to go through this. Because you're being set apart from the world. So the Beatitudes are very important because it's a progression, a process that God uses so that you can be solid in the faith. And when something comes upon you that makes you fearful, you stand against it. So we'll read from 3 to 12. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Without Christ, we can do nothing. You are totally dependent on God the Father through the work of the cross by the guiding Holy Spirit. Why are we poor in spirit? Because if we weren't poor, if we were rich in spirit, we would not need a Savior. We're poor in spirit because that is why we look up. Broken, lowly, and contrite. His yoke, he has asked, you put your yoke upon me, for I'm meekly, mild and lowly. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." What are they mourning? They're mourning because they are sinful. They're mourning because they have sin. But they're glorying in the fact that Christ has taken away their sin. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Moses was the meekest of all the men. Christ talks about himself as meek. We are being conformed to Christ. We are going to be meek. Meek does not mean weak. It means you know where you are, where you came from, and you know where you're not. And you know how high God is above you. His ways are higher than your ways. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The righteousness of Christ through the work of the cross. The imputation of your sin into the flesh of Christ and his imputation of his perfect 33 years imputed to you. We have a thirst and a hunger for righteousness, for what is right, for what we will stand for, and what we'll stand against. And when we do that, when we hunger and thirst for that righteousness, we will be filled. We know we're standing for the right thing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. His mercies, like Jordan said, are new every day. He's merciful unto us, his children. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A heart that is changed. A heart that has been renewed and replaced. A new man that controls the old man, the flesh and the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's two thoughts here. We are at peace with one another. The bride of Christ is fit together like a puzzle. The puzzle just keeps going on and on and on and on. But when the last piece is placed, Christ will come. Also, God says, "Do you think I came to Did you think Christ came to bring peace? No, but to divide. There's two things happening here. But one thing that's united is the bride of Christ. One thing that's divided is the sheep and the goats. We have to understand that this is God's will. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We will receive persecution. Blessed are ye that men shall revile you and persecute you, and ye shall be in all manner evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is what you were signed up for. This is what the Christian will go through in their life. Be not thou therefore, back to the text, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Beatitudes is part of the plan. It's part of the picture of what you're going to have to go through. It's what God signed you up for before the foundation of the world. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 11 is where he's going here. The calling. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's our calling. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which he had given in us, Christ Jesus, before the world began, but is now made manifest or made known by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it's not you living, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The hands and feet of Jesus, the life we now live, is according, like it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Ephesians 4:10-16. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets or preachers, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are the categories that the bride is in. Do you know which one you are? Are you a sent out one? Apostle, missionary? Are you a preacher, a prophet? Are you an evangelist that teaches the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you a pastor or minister? Are you a teacher? Those are the positions in the bride of Christ. Why those positions? What's he using them for? It says, for the perfecting of the saints. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. For the work of the ministry. Aquila and Priscilla, addicted to the ministry, ministering unto others. For the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Are you growing in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ? Do you know him better than you knew him yesterday? Or is your grace stagnant? Is your faith stagnant? If it's stagnant, you'll be tossed to and fro. You will not be solid in the word. You'll be influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil mightily, because the word doesn't infect you and you're not addicted to the word and the ministry. But the speaking of truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of each part, every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every member of the body is important. The puzzle pieces are being added. The body of Christ is being built. Until the last elect person is saved, the world will still be in existence. Until that final puzzle piece is put in place, Christ will not come. Till the picture is finished, then he will come again on a white horse. Boy, that'll be beautiful. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You're confident that he is able to keep what you have given him. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. You're persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Romans 1:13-17. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's powerful to all that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy knew this. Timothy 6:1-8. Let as many servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doing about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Timothy knew this. And this is speaking to, obviously he's talking about slavery here, but what are you content in? You're content in what you are given. You're content to know that you're given grace, favor of God. You're given faith to move mountains. You're given power, virtue, so you can stand in the day of conflict. You're given the scripture, the word of God. And you know that the glory goes to God and came alone. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Ephesians 2. For you are saved, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By grace alone, through faith alone, in the power of Christ alone, by scripture alone, to God be given the glory alone, the five solas of grace. We are so fortunate, as Timothy was, to be part of a body of Christ, a body of believers who have received this, the five solas of grace. We are part of that body that is fitly joined together, piece by piece, in a world of sin, in a world of wickedness, in a world of unruliness. But until the last elect is come, we have work to do. Preach the good news. Minister to the saints. For our bridegroom is worthy. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's close with 243.
Thank you.